From the Good Life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living Show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living podcast. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I get to serve as your host for this show. And sitting here at the studio on a nice, crisp Saturday morning, kind of quiet on campus, I'm okay with that. And just going to have an opportunity today to talk a little bit about what's to come in the year 2026 as we put a bow on 2025 and we step boldly into a new year. If you were with us last time, had a chance to take a look in the rearview mirror. We looked at what happened in 2025, some of the major events during the year, and then also had a chance to kind of reflect on what God's been doing in my world in that space of time as well, and do something a little similar today. You know, what's coming in 2026? What's on the calendar for the new year? And then talk a little bit about some strategies, some ideas about ways that in a healthy fashion we can step into a new year. And so I'm excited to have that opportunity to talk through all that with you today. And if you're with us last time as well, you had just me, and you're going to get that one more time before we step back into hosting some guests with the next show. And so little sneak peek at what's coming in the first part of 2026. I'm going to do a three-part series with Pastor Andy Greer, and it's going to really step into a variety of different reasons about why tithing is important and why we tithe. You know, what is all about that tithe, and what are some elements of it that really we can kind of peel apart and say, you know, how does God use that process in our lives? And so I'm super excited about that because I think sometimes we don't really dig into the depths of that process. Maybe we hit it on the surface, but we don't really dig into it. And so I look forward to that. Again, three-part series in January with Pastor Andy. But today, 2026, stepping into a new year, how do we do that? What does it look like for you? Let's dig in. So I took a look at, you know, what are some of the things that are supposed to be happening in 2026? What are some of the milestones, some of the big events that we know will take place in the coming year? I can start off with this. Vegas probably could win some money on this. Well, maybe not. I don't think this is going to be something people are going to bet on anymore. But I can tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to win a Super Bowl in 2026. I'm going to have a much less busy January as they've already been eliminated. So to all those of you that are Chiefs fans, you can live in the misery with me. For those that have hated the Chiefs now for a few years, you got what you wanted. So anyway, stepping into 2026, in the year 2026, the United States will actually celebrate its 250th birthday. I do not know what that means for any kind of formal celebrations that the federal government has or anything like that, but 250 years, that's not nothing. That's pretty significant. Also, for those of you that are fans of nostalgia, Winnie the Pooh turns 100 this year. Now, I would not have guessed that. That means he became something. He became part of our world in 1926. I think I would have lost that in a trivia contest. So, Winnie the Pooh turning 100. This, it's coming up here in about 6 weeks. The Winter Olympics kicks off in Milan and Cortina. I was excited. In our house, we kind of have a tradition of that's kind of part of what we consume at that time of the year, and a little bit of American pride, but also to seeing some of the best athletes in the world do their thing is always a lot of fun. It sounds as though, if it all goes through, there is, in 2026, the first manned orbit of the moon in several decades. So we will see if that comes to fruition and what that looks like, and kind of an exciting thing. If it hasn't happened for decades, that means it hasn't happened a lot in my lifetime. And so kind of excited to see how that goes and how they report back on that. This year marks the year where yours truly will turn 53. And I will wrap up my 29th year in ministry serving, 27 of those in education, and these last two in church ministry. So thankful for that. Thankful for the way the Lord has used me. And as a dad, This will be a benchmark where my youngest child will also start her final year of college in 2026. This coming fall, August of 2026 will be Jordan's senior year. That means for me, and Sarah and I, we have 3 semesters of college tuition to keep helping out with. So one this spring and then a fall spring event. And whew, for those of you that have walked through that journey, especially with 3 children, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm excited to, not necessarily for Jordan to wrap up her college time, but I'm okay with the education being done with my kiddos, at least the part that we're going to help pay for, and getting a chance to see where God takes us from there. And so, all right, let's dig into the fun stuff now. How do you start a new year? What are your rhythms? Do you have any? What are the things that you think about, you pray about, you plan for? When you transition from one year into the next, I think everybody's unique and different in this space. Some years I've done some super formal things. Other years I probably haven't even hardly given it any thought. But as I was preparing for the show, had a chance to really kind of step back and press the pause button and say, all right, so like, what are the most important elements of this transition? If we kind of see the new year as just that, some new starts, some fresh beginnings. What does that look like in our walk? What does that look like in our world, in our rhythms, and just the opportunity to do something new, potentially do something different? And so I'm going to walk through several different frameworks with this. What I would say is that you need to understand that I won't necessarily be the person that will execute these all 100%. Again, it's you've heard me say this phrase before. It's about the process. It's not about perfection. So some of these things will be probably a little bit more aggressive in my world, others maybe not as much, but we're going to talk about just concepts and why they matter and why they're important. And so as you kind of think about your world, what matters to you, you know, one of the most important things you can do in life is do some goal setting and do some planning, because that gives some direction to your life. Whatever part of your life you're doing that in, it gives you some direction, it gives you a way to measure. And it gives you a way to not only say, am I doing what I had hoped to do? You can look backwards and say, where have I been? Did I get somewhere? But it also lets you have this opportunity to be very intentional about the process of change, about the process of intentionality, the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to strengthen. I would also say the opportunity to be available to where God wants to use you in this world for him. And so first of all, we'll step into the space of kind of spiritual growth. I'm going to look at kind of 4 different areas. I'm going to go spiritual, relational, physical, and then kind of that emotional, psychological. But we'll start out in the spiritual space. You know, what's important in your walk when you think about things that help you to grow in your faith, that help you to stay grounded in your walk with Christ? What are the things that you find that have worked well for you? Are you still doing those things consistently? Are you in a space where you found a really, really good rhythm? Are you in a spot where you've maybe hit a rut and you need to shake back out of that rut? Are you in a space where God maybe needs you to take it to the next level and you're sensing that? The Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, I think there's more out there. You know, what does that look like for you? For me, in that spiritual growth space, you know, I think it is important for each of us to find ways to have some very intentional quiet time with God every day. What does that look like? I have good days and bad days with this. The last 3 or 4 years, I do the Bible in a Year on the Bible app, and it's part of my rhythm every morning, whether it's on my way driving to work in the morning, before I leave the house, or right as I get into the office. I try to wrap that up, and you know, you just listen to someone else read me scripture. There's pros and cons of that. You know, I don't necessarily have the Bible open when I'm doing that, so you know, some of it sinks in really deeply on some days, and other days I battle kind of my headspace being other places, and maybe it doesn't sink like it should. You know, so if there's a tweak for me in that, you know, is there a way for me to find a better intentionality around having scripture open while that's being read to me, so I'm not only seeing it but hearing it. But that quiet time, I think, is maybe something that's even as equally important, and it's sometimes more important. You see over and over in scripture, you know, Jesus, when he was in the throes of ministry, he found ways to get away and just have quiet time in prayer with his Father. I've heard multiple church leaders and ministry leaders talk about that same need. Like when the world gets the most chaotic, when the pressure becomes the greatest, you know, sometimes we want to bow up and do it ourselves. And I have that, I lean that way. I'm a pretty competitive person and I always want to, you know, just say, hey, I can figure this out, et cetera. Sometimes that's the worst answer. And that opportunity to say, all right, Lord, we've got this thing going. I need you more than ever, and just lay it at his feet as opposed to, you know, I got this, I'll figure it out. And I think there's this human condition called gripping the wheel too tight, and we try to think that we should be in the driver's seat and steering the bus. And ultimately, when we back off of that and we actually lay it at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, you're in control, can you take the wheel? We find a different place. It's a place of peace. It's a place of strength, of comfort, certainly. And so what do you do in your world to find real true quiet? You know, I get to a building every morning when generally maybe there's one or two other people in a really large building, but a lot of times it's just me. And I can sit in an office and it's pretty daggone quiet in that office. And to be able to press the pause button and jump into a prayer with God and you know, seek and ask and talk and cry sometimes, like, what does that look like? And you know what? When I get spun up, it's when Satan has caused me to skip that part of my day. You know, he taps me on the shoulder and says, there's more important to-dos today. You've got a lot of things. And I'll, you know, my transparency is I've had a pretty busy schedule for the last 4 or 5 months. We've had one of our team members step away from the ministry, and we had to kind of go through a transition in that role. And I took on extra tasks during that window. And I do think that kind of hit me a little bit spiritually. Like I had had some pretty good healthy rhythms going into that time. And when that to-do list gets longer and you get a little bit more stressed, sometimes it's easy to slide out of a rhythm that actually is exactly what you need every day. And so for me moving into 2026, I know that that will be something that I will be seeking to be very intentional about, is being more available and in the mornings to listen to what God needs to work through in my life. Because when we're not listening, when we don't create the space in our rhythms to have that conversation with God, it's pretty tough to hear his voice. It really is. And so if that's something you're not used to, I encourage you, like, where could you find absolute solitude? It might be in your home. It might not be. It might be going for a walk in the morning and sitting on a bench on a bike path before there's much traffic out there. It might be sneaking away in the middle of the day, going for a walk and having a talk with God. It might be closing out your day with a nice walk after supper, whatever that looks like. Where do you place in your schedule, in your day, some quiet time with God? It's hugely important. And if you can weave some time in scripture into that, that's just a double dip that God can really use in your life. All right. So that's spiritual. Sliding in next, the relational side. You know, one of the things that God made in us as an innate, I think, important part of our lives is that he made us to be in a relationship. First of all, with him. He seeks us every day. He seeks our hearts. He wants a relationship with us. And that's why that quiet time with him daily is so important. But he also made us to be in relationship with one another. And I think when he gets us isolated and gets us by ourselves, or he gets us convinced that the people around us don't love us anymore, or we don't have friends, or whatever that looks like, with the things we talk ourselves into when it comes to relationships, that's when he wins, I think. That's when Satan has this advantage of, like, separating us from people that we are intended to be around. And I know for me, a pretty strong core of the people I spend time with are people that I'm a fairly aligned with spiritually. They're people that are people that support me from a faith perspective. But there's room in my life and space in my life that I need to be available also. To find a way to be around those that need to hear more about Christ. And, you know, what does that look like for me in 2026? Where might I find those spaces? How might I get into some service opportunities or some other things that would allow me to be surrounded by some people that need a little bit more of exposure to Christ? You know, what does that look like? But in my core, I know that when I have a chance to to be around some brothers in Christ, whether that's through some regular gatherings, Bible study, whatever that looks like, or even social time. That's hugely valuable for me. That shores up my core from a spiritual perspective. Now, when it comes to what's most important in my life, my relationship with God is first. And then right behind that is my relationship with Sarah as my spouse. What does that look like? How am I framing that every day? What's the intentionality there? And so that's something that I know Sarah and I have had some strong seasons and some weak seasons with, in terms of just being super intentional about times together, times in conversation, times in scripture and prayer. That's a rhythm that I know can strengthen in 2026. It's easy, and some of you are probably like us. Kids get out of the house. Hey, let's grab the food and sit in front of the TV and put our feet up because it's been a long day, and you get sucked into something else as opposed to a conversation with one another. And so we had a little stretch before the craziness of the Christmas season took over. We had a little stretch there where we made a little more intentionality of sitting at the kitchen table, going through a devotion and some prayer. And that's something I need more of, and I know we need together more of as we get into 2026, just being really intentional about time where we can talk, time where we can share our walk with Christ together in an intentional way. Because if we don't do that, that's where Satan tries to create fractures in relationships. So that's something I'm committed to. Sarah pursues me better than I pursue her in that space. As the man of the house, I know that that's something I need to make every bit as important as some of the other things that I feel like are important in my life. And so I'm excited to see where God might take that in 2026. When I think about my kiddos, you know, when they're all three in different spaces and different rhythms in life and doing different things, it can get harder and harder. You know, when our kids were little, I went through a season where I really very intentionally dated my daughters. We went on daddy-daughter dates, built some good memories through that. Probably didn't do that as long as I wished I would have in terms of that intentionality. Thankful for what we did do. You know, there's always a little regret wishing you didn't do a little bit more of that. As they get older, that doesn't go away. I'll always be a father of three daughters. You know, what does that look like to date your daughters? Even when one of them gets married, what does that look like? How do you find times to make special new memories? You know, all of those things. You know, with Kayla specifically, you know, I've relinquished that guardianship in some ways to her husband, Ty. Like he has that seat now. And yet as dad, that's still something that you don't give away wholly. There's a part of you that's still obviously dad, and you want her to always to feel like that dad matters in that and what that relationship looks like. So, you know, finding some new rhythms there. I've got our second Addie has graduated from college and has kind of got some rhythms that, you know, not living in the home anymore, working different times than what I work, all those kinds of things. How do you pursue that? What does that look like as dad? And then, of course, our youngest has got another year and a half of college left, so she's around a little bit more. You know, holiday breaks, those kinds of things. Like, are there ways, you know, finding times to intentionally go to lunch, whatever those things look like, picking a favorite movie, playing games. How do we step into those relationships and continue to strengthen, build memories, understand that sometimes this time together is exactly the glue, exactly what we need, what we were made for, what God made us for in terms of those relationships with one another. Of course, then you get beyond that to extended family. What does it look like to try to be intentional, create those experiences with extended family? We're talking about some vacations coming up this year. Some core friendships. Man, if you don't pursue friends, life gets busy and it's like, man, why haven't we seen so-and-so for 6 weeks or 3 months or whatever? And as essentially empty nesters, the only excuse is on our own shoulders. Like, that's something that shouldn't be that hard. Hey, let's go grab cocktails. Let's go to a movie. Like, whatever that looks like. Let's go putt-putt golfing. You know, finding intentional times to double date and just get out with others. That really shouldn't be that hard, but we make pretty good excuses for why we're so busy and it's hard to do that. And then you even get out to things like neighbors and, you know, people in your world that you're surrounded with. And, you know, what does that look like to create experiences there? My in-laws have a really neat tradition of having a ice cream sundae experience once a year in their neighborhood in the summertime. And that's a way to very intentionally get people to be around and together. Sarah and I one time did a really fun fire pit night and invited a bunch of our neighbors over, but we've not been consistent with things like that. So what does that look like stepping into 2026? How are there ways just to create community, be a resource, let your neighbors know that you care about them, that you are your own little community on your block or whatever that looks like? Because that's a way to, the phrase we use here at Messiah is join Jesus on his mission. How do we just share love with them in a way that they can see Jesus in our world and that opens doors for conversation? So that's the relational side. Setting goals on the this one's going to be hard for me to talk about. Physical growth, physical change. It's probably been about 2 years ago that I had a very busy plate and had some back issues going on, and I stepped away. I'd kind of been doing some working out with some buddies for 2 to 3 years and had gotten physically into a much better spot, had some consistency 2 or 3 days a week, and at times had done pretty well with my diet as well. And I think right around the time COVID got crazy, I actually dropped back down to within about 5 to 7 pounds of my college playing weight. Definitely not there today. And my body's starting to feel, I'm starting to feel it in my joints and other things. And so many of you are probably, especially those of you that have jumped into your upper 40s and early 50s like myself, I'm starting to sense that my body needs at least some of that. Although I know for years and years and years, I went really hard at that. And sometimes I wonder if my joints don't hurt because I maybe pushed too much way back when. I'm thinking I was bigger and badder than I probably really was. But what does that look like to be very intentional about what the body that God gave me? My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I only have one body. And as we can see from the experiences a lot of people have had, you know, sometimes our bodies wear out. You know, sometimes people experience disease and early onset dementia and other things. And some of those things, we don't know how controllable they are. But in other ways, there are a lot of things physically we can control. We can control our exercise. We can control what we're putting into our bodies. We can control how much sleep we're getting. But they all require intentionality. And I would say I've gotten about a F-minus on that in the last couple of years. I've let all the excuses in the world, mostly busyness, the rest being laziness, kind of get in the way of that. And so I know, you know, if I want to live to be 80 or whatever God has intended for me on this earth, you know, I've got a big frame. For those of you that haven't seen me or met me, you know, I'm 6'5" and, I can put on weight and not look like I have that much, but the more that's there, the harder it is for my body to do what it needs to do. And so, you know, if I want to enjoy a grandkid someday, if I want to be able to feel like I can tie my shoes the way I should when I'm 75, et cetera, there's some important need to take care of what I have now. And so I am putting this out there publicly for the three of you that are still, I'm just kidding. Whoever's listening to this podcast, you can hold me accountable to this. My 2026 has to have some intentionality around regular exercise. So in the next week, I will be putting together a plan on, you know, days of the week. When am I going to do this? What's it going to look like? Am I going to step back into the space of a little bit of weight training? Certainly some walking and bike riding with much greater frequency. But then also getting into that space where diet matters. You know, the need to make sure that we're eating healthy. It's too easy to eat for convenience. It's too easy to grab the wrong things at the wrong time. It's also too easy to have a little alcohol here and there. All those things kind of, they impact your body in ways that aren't as healthy as what God had intended for them. And so I'm excited to do a little bit of work in that space this year. I would love to drop down about 15 or 20 pounds. So I'm putting that number out there. Because I think if I was 20 pounds lighter, I would feel much more healthy, much more energy, all the things that really do matter in terms of not only serving the way God intended me to, but really being more engaged relationally with those around me. Plus it gets me up off the couch and hopefully can drive away some of the excuses of just sitting around and being less than active as I should be. And so I'm excited to what that could look like into 2026, but it does require metrics. It does require setting some specific goals. It does require sitting down and like Sarah and I, like I'm going to have a conversation with Sarah about what we do. Maybe do a little bit more with meal prep and be planning out our weeks, because we're both very busy and sometimes the diet part gets hit in the head because we're so busy and it's like, all right, what can we just throw in the oven quick and make some chicken nuggets or whatever it ends up being, as opposed to, hey, how do we plan out really healthy meals, you know, 4 or 5 days a week and have our cheat day or whatever. It's not going to go perfect all the time. That's not the point, but it's about intentionality. And so if you're like me, it will require some conversations and some accountability. And so you get to be part of my accountability team, those of you listening on the show. And then finally, getting that emotional, psychological space. I think it's important to really understand, you know, what your triggers are, what your hot buttons are, you know, what gets you spun up, what gets you into a negative headspace. What are those things that that are part of your rhythms that are less than healthy that you need to try to either carve out or change? I know for me, I can be really, really hard on myself. You know, I have a little bit of perfectionist syndrome at times where I get frustrated when things don't go as well as I thought they should have, and then I can beat myself up over that. I know that, you know, when it comes to that need to give yourself grace, sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do. You can give grace to a lot of the people around you, but it's hard sometimes to give grace to yourself. And so I know for me, I need to make sure that, you know, on a daily basis, there's almost like an emotional health check-in that you have to do with yourself. Like how do I feel about how things are going in my world, whether it's personally or professionally? Why is that? What's going on? Like what's pushing the buttons one way or the other? And then how do people around me see, how I'm interacting with them? Do I come off as somebody that's positive and energetic and affirming to them, or am I critical? Am I pushing too hard? Because a lot of times when you get into kind of, especially even relationships at work, where you're at, emotionally and psychologically really drives, how healthy your relationships are in the workplace. Because if you don't know how you're uniquely wired, and if you don't know kind of what your triggers are and how you interact with others, you can set yourself up for some pretty challenging relationships. And ultimately, it's going to be important in those opportunities in the workplace to not only give grace to your coworkers, but give grace to yourself and just kind of keep an eye on your own, how you're interacting with the world. And I go through seasons where, man, I feel emotionally pretty strong and pretty engaged. But then you can go through, I know I can, go through a week or two where you just kind of feel like you get sucked into a rut. And you know people around you see that. It's pretty hard to hide that when you get into those spaces. And so what am I doing to be consistent? How am I keeping my rhythms on the spiritual side consistent in terms of quiet time with God and those kinds of things? Because all of those impact my emotional and my psychological side. When I'm fueled spiritually, when I'm fueled relationally, when I'm more healthy physically, eating well and sleeping well, that emotional, psychological, it's all connected through hormones. It's all connected through how your body processes information, your brain processes information. And really your choices in those other three spaces actually set you up for a much more healthy headspace. And again, I believe Satan wants us to kind of stink in those other three areas so that he can keep us spun up in the emotional area and the psychological area. So you can make the most headspace, I think, or the most improvement in your headspace in a lot of ways if you're really intentional in the spiritual, relational, and physical areas. When those things, when those rhythms are humming, you can really also then find yourself in a good emotional spot too, because your body is kind of tuning itself in the way that God had intended for you. And so biggest thing there is give yourself some grace. And as we wrap up the show today, I wanted to kind of just talk a little bit about the stewardship of me, the stewardship of you. You know, God brought me into this world. You know, he knew me from the time I was in my mother's womb. he could see how he would use me in the world. And I'm excited for what's to come because I don't know how he's going to use me in the days to come. But it's important for me to understand that I have one life to live, and it's a life that he's given me, and I'm stewarding it. Like, it's not my life. It's his life that's been blessed to be a blessing to others. And so what am I doing to steward me? One of my commitments in 2026 is to spend less time in front of the TV. That has always just been a vice for me. It's a rhythm I kind of learned growing up in the busyness of life. Sometimes it's just nice to sit down and check out and watch a show. And certainly there's space for that in a time where that's important. But at other times, man, you can get spun up and all of a sudden be sitting in front of the TV for 5 hours. And we've had one of our shows previously that kind of talked about stewardship and the stewardship of time. And just that reminder that, you know, you have one life to live. There's 7 days in a week, 24 hours to every one of those days. How do you spend those 24 hours? Because once they're spent, they're gone. So that stewardship of time is super important. And I know one of the biggest detractors or one of the biggest places that I bleed time is the television. And so that's something that, again, that'll require a conversation with my spouse because she and I share some of that rhythm. But she's ahead of me from the standpoint of it bothers her how much sometimes we do sit in front of the TV. So this will be a conversation she'll be appreciative of. But what do you replace it with? Because just like anything, you ever talk to somebody who's a recovering addict, whatever it looks like, if you don't replace some of those rhythms and experiences with new things, it's easy to get pulled back into the old rhythms. And so one of the only ways you can step away from so much time in front of the TV is you have to find new things to do, new hobbies, new habits, you know, whatever that looks like. And so that's something that I'm excited to sit down with Sarah and kind of dream about what could a reset in that space look like. The second area with stewardship is that idea of service. Both Sarah and I serve in a ministry here at church. It's a place we love. We have no holds barred when it comes to how we serve, and we just step in wherever it's needed. I'm so blessed to have a spouse that's a Swiss Army knife, and she's always the hardest worker in the room anywhere I ever have ever been. She gets that, I think, from her mother, who's a tireless worker as well. And a lot of times that means you pour yourself into the things you're doing where you're at. And it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of love. But it is in some ways internal service. It's with people you see all the time, guests that you maybe haven't met yet, but it is a lot of times in the same building. And one of the things I feel like I need to be committed to in 2026 is when and where do I find time to serve outside of this church that I call my home and also my employer at this point? How do I find intentionality in getting out and serving in other places, getting into the community, being available to how God will use me outside of, you know, in church ministry? It's really easy to feel like, well, I'm always serving. Like it's my entire day, all the time, which is not untrue. But the reality is, you know, we have a chance to separate those in some ways, especially those of us that serve in the church, and say, all right, how do I get outside of the shell that I'm in and get into the community? So that's a goal that I have for 2026 is to find things to do outside of my faith home. And then finally, financially, you know, Sarah and I have been blessed. God has provided for us in just crazy ways. Like we went through this transition to a new career for me. That meant some loss in income for a period of time. And we knew that was a part of the decision, but we just trusted God in it. And he's been faithful. It's been pretty amazing just to watch how he's worked through that. And we're going to be stepping into the space, as I mentioned earlier, where college costs are winding down for us, for our youngest. And there's just an opportunity for Sarah and I to keep praying through, like, what's next for us in the stewardship of finances. We have the same philosophy around tithing. We've always had a chance to fully tithe in our space and actually tithe fully to the church and give beyond that to other campaigns and other ministries that have been important to us. And so, you know, God has blessed that. You know, it's something where we've just had some contentment around some of the other, I think, goals that maybe drive people towards more aggressive retirement and those kinds of things. You know, we haven't been as aggressive in that space, but We've just had a level of trust that God will work that out when he needs to. And I've continued to see his provision, his hand in that. And so I'm excited as we step into 2026 and beyond, just to say, you know, what's next for us in our financial stewardship? Where can we make an impact on beyond the giving that we're doing to our church? Because that giving to the church is important. For those of you that maybe aren't quite there yet, you know, when we give to the church, we literally are providing dollars and resources to make sure that every worker in that church is being paid what they should be getting paid and has the benefits they need to have, but also that all the different ministries and events and whatever else is going on, that we fund those fully. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday morning and forget that there's a cost to putting on that service, that there's a cost. And the last thing we really want is for people to give to budgets. But what we want, what's really important, how God works, I think, is when we step into this space where we see, hey, there's this ministry going on. I get a chance to be a part of it. I'm actually growing because of it. How am I investing back into it? So not only am I growing, but I see how other people get a chance to grow. And so we're blessed to be a part of that process through our personal tithe, and I'm excited to see, you know, where God's going to take that in the year to come. So as we wind down the show today, just one of the things, I guess, to put a bow on this is none of this is going to happen. You know, none of this change for me is going to get anywhere. It's not going to get anywhere for you either unless you create some specific goals. You know, what are your goals stepping into 2026? Not resolutions, more goals. Like, where do you want to be? How do you want God to use you? But commit it to paper, write it down, talk about it with a spouse or an accountability buddy or a friend, you know, somebody that can, encourage you, check in with you. You know, what does that look like? When you share this with others, that's when it becomes, I think, more alive, more important. You know, some people have stepped into the space where they actually work with a life coach, not a counselor, a life coach, where it's like, hey, I feel like I'm in a rut. I'm not getting where I need to get. And that's almost this neutral third party who becomes invested in your goals with you and can challenge you in ways that you've never seen before. And you can get that also from an accountability partner. You know, they're not going to be trained in that same way, but you can invite somebody into that. It could be your spouse as well. Like, how are we going to check in with each other? Are we going to check in once a month, every 2 weeks? You know, what does that look like to set some goals and really work towards some intentionality and knowing that when you do that, your motivation isn't to become the super awesome person. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is to be available to how God will use you in the year to come, to be the best version of who God's creating you to be. And I think when you sit in that space and when you really lean in that way, you do become more available to be God's hands and God's feet on this earth. And so, you know, whatever that space looks like for you, I'm excited for you in 2026. I encourage you, man, if there's any way I can be a resource to you in that way or be an ear as you kind of work through that process, man, reach out, call the church here at Messiah. My email is scott.earnsmeyer@messiah.us. I'd love to be an encourager to you in that space. But hopefully you've got somebody in your world that you already have that you know will love through that whole process with you, love on you. And don't cut yourself short. The opportunity to grow is always there. It's never too late to start a new goal. It's never too late to step into that space of improvement and growth. And I pray that for you. So at this point, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for the gifts you give. You know, 2025 has had a lot of roller coasters. There's been a lot of challenging things we've watched in the world. And I don't know where everybody listening is at in their own personal space. Hopefully they've had a lot of highs and less lows than highs, but Lord, we know that there's challenges in this world. And I'm just thankful for what you do provide. Lord, I pray that you can open our hearts and eyes to see how you are at work. And as we step into the new year, as we step into a new opportunity, new beginnings, Lord, I just pray that you help us to dream boldly. Help us to get outside of kind of some of the ruts we've been in and start setting goals. And Lord, make them godly goals. Make them goals that we know that you want for us, whether that is our spiritual growth, our social growth, our physical growth, or our social, our emotional and intellectual growth. Lord, I know you can do great and mighty things, more than we could ever ask or imagine. And sometimes I think we kind of get in our own little world and sell ourselves short. And ultimately, Lord, you have a dream for us. you know what we're capable of. You know what ways that we can be a blessing to this world around us. And a lot of times that can't happen unless we get more healthy, unless we become more available, unless we create margin in our lives. And so, Lord, I'm thankful for in advance for the ways you're going to work in and through 2026 in our lives in ways that, Lord, only you know. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're still with us, I thank you for listening, and I encourage you to stop chasing and start living. Till next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.